Welcome to the I Don't Do That podcast, where we get into all the things that we're not into.
Na 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 na, yeah, no, I don't do that, no, I don't do that. You know it's all right, you can ask, but I don't do that, no, I don't do that. I don't do that.
Episode 21.
Friends would get together and we'd talk about one day we're going to live in New York and have a, you know, have an apartment and I'll be auditioning and that kind of like, you know, just dreaming big and wild and beyond.
Episode 21 is I Don't Seek Fame. We're talking with Chase today, who doesn't seek fame. Chase is a Caucasian male in his late 30s, a full-time music educator and part-time singer-songwriter. Chase is a creative music professional. He lives in southern Minnesota, USA.
Well, thanks for coming here and talking to me.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for having me, Ocho.
I'm happy to have you. We're talking about I Don't Seek Fame is the subject.
Yeah.
Will you tell me when you started performing in front of people? I'm assuming it was as a singer.
But, oh, yeah. Okay. Yep. I've been singing my whole life, ever since I was 4 years old, singing with my sisters. I guess the first performance would have been something school-related in elementary school. We did our yearly play. A lot of times it was not like a musical necessarily, but like The States or something. And I would get like a solo singing with the choir. I was always singing, and it was very clear that I was a good singer, at least for my age, and I sang like a little bird. I was actually quite annoying as a child, because I just constantly made sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, in elementary school, I'd say first solo was like third or fourth grade, something like that, and ever since then, school, musicals, theatrical productions, and then I started doing... I started writing songs in like middle school, early high school.
Great.
And started performing those around that time as well. So,
did those early performances, did they feel like anything like when you were a kid?
You know, up until I got into like seventh grade, it was just kind of one more thing that I did. I was also, as an elementary school kid, really into art, specifically like drawing. And so I drew a lot. I would like sing while I drew. And I liked to sing. But it wasn't until I was actually a part of this summer performing arts company. It's called SPA. It's in my hometown, and that I like caught the bug, as it were. And so in middle school and early high school is where I was like, I'm destined for stardom.
And you got excited about singing. Like you had an emotional attachment to it.
Singing in theater in particular, especially in middle school, early high school, I thought I was going to be on Broadway. Like it was very specific. I did songwriting on the side a little bit, but I had the most early success doing musical productions. I got to be the lead a bunch and you know, by the time I graduated high school, actually, I had been in over, I think it was like 30 productions. I did like four a year and a lot, many leads, but also many supporting roles as I was younger. And so it was a huge part of my life.
And at that time you were better than everyone. Is that kind
of? No. I was good, but I come from a really... I come from a really wonderful arts community, Grand Forks, North Dakota. Yeah. Shout out to all my friends and family. And
my parents met each other there.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Wow, small world. Grand Forks, there's a lot of, and even in just North Dakota in general, the music teachers and the music departments, they're connected pretty well, and they do a great job. I was very fortunate. I had so many great music teachers who saw that I could sing and gave me opportunities to sing. Just to show you the talent pool, like you have like all state choirs. My junior year, I think it was, we had like eight people or something from Grand Forks alone who were in all state. We had like six guys, which we had like the most amount of guys that they'd had in a couple of years that all sang really, really well. So there's quite a lot of competition and, and we were all closer, you know, more or less over the years. And it was, A lot of talented folks came out of the town.
Was there talk about fame at that time? Or?
Oh, yeah, especially amongst us, you know. Like,
yeah.
It was, we got just so excited about the whole process, the stage construction, you know, set construction, yeah. the blocking, rehearsals, hanging out in between the scenes and mm-hmm. the actual performances. And there's, you know, there's a whole culture, a theater culture that I was completely immersed in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you said you had the idea that you were going to be on Broadway, so you had a particular idea of how your fame was going to unfold.
Especially like middle school to early high school. Like I went into high school really excited about musical theater.
Yeah.
And that was like the idea. Our friends would get together and we'd talk about one day we're going to live in New York and have a, you know, have an apartment and I'll be auditioning and that kind mm-hmm. of like, you know, just dreaming big and wild and beyond.
Right.
Yeah.
So did that picture of fame change then of moving to New York?
And, greatly.
Okay.
Huge. Yeah.
Well, how'd that happen?
For me personally, it was a very gradual transition. So, you know, I'm from North Dakota, and while we were in a small, you know, we had a lot of talent in our small town, it's still a small town, you know, it's not a huge, you know, it's not Minneapolis, and it's definitely not, you know, New York or LA, and you know, you're a big fish in a small pond, and then you get out into the bigger pond, and there are a lot of other people exactly like you, you know, and when I got to college, I had some great success, I had some great roles in musical theater, but I don't know, something about how things went. I learned a lot about myself as to why I actually did theater in the first place,
mm-hmm.
why I was really into performing in the first place.
Okay.
And when I looked back at like my high school experience, if I had to like put on a pedestal the experience of in the moment performing and then put up like backstage antics
mm-hmm.
and the cast party,
mm-hmm.
for me, they were all on similar, if maybe even, it was almost more social for me. Like, yes, I wanted to sing well. Yes, I wanted to have a great performance, but I also wanted to have fun and cultivate strong relationships. And some of those folks I still talk to this day. I mean, some of my longest friends I've had.
Yeah.
And so in college, it got a little different, you know. I finally felt like that feeling of like, oh, man. I've got like an understudy and he really would like it if I fell down a flight of stairs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and I started like struggling to really actually be friends with a lot of the people that were in, you know, theater, I guess you could say.
Was it competitive in college?
Oh yeah. Hardcore. You know, okay. You know, people are starting to now take it really seriously. And it's,
whereas in high school you were more like a team and those were your friends and it was a social thing.
That's what it felt like to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, mm-hmm. you know, and I also, you know, I've hyper socially oriented, you know, extroverted and also, you know, approval seeking and wanting to belong, mm-hmm. you know, I just wanted to be a part of something. I wanted to, mm-hmm. it kind of goes deeper.
Yeah. It's great to know about yourself. I mean, that's a lot of what I find on this show is like, the best people to talk to are ones who know about themselves because we can get this story out, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe we can learn something that we didn't know before. I don't know.
Maybe.
That's always a hope. But
I've been a great example of what not to do for many, many times in my life. So if that's helpful, great.
That's that self-deprecating humor we were talking about.
Oh, I know. You and I have that in spades, brother.
Yeah. So part of what I think about is like when you're an adolescent, it's very important just to bond with your friends and to hang out with your friends. And that's a big part of your identity. And it's more of a priority than when you're older or even when you're younger. So like having a peer group as an adolescent is more of a need.
Oh yeah, and
so that may explain some of the difference between high school and college. Also, then if people are going into it as a career, people more serious about it, it's going to be more competitive, and you're not going to goof off so much, and they might not be your friends.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And I you know, flat out, I wasn't always that professional.
Sure.
A lot of the time, to be honest with you, you know. So it's like, That was also part of it. You know, another part of it too.
You're not a professional when you're like singing and dancing.
Well, I meant especially when I was like 16.
Right.
You know, I'm talking about 16 and even, to be honest, you know, even into like my early 20s.
Yeah, my point is it seems like such a silly thing to be expected to be serious about.
Oh, right.
Like, oh, I'm singing and dancing. Well, you better do it right. You better impress this person, you know, kind of thing. But that does seem to be part of the culture. So is this when you started to think that maybe you didn't want to be famous, or when did that come about?
No, see, at that time, what I had was a pivot. One of the things that I ran into in college was I just kind of realized that I didn't really care about acting. Mm. That was like the start of me completely doing a paradigm shift for how I even engaged in the performing arts. Mm. Up until then, I kind of did a variety of things. I played in high school, I played in orchestra. I did musicals. On the side, I was like writing my early songs that were terrible and singing with some friends who also sang with me. And we had lots of fun doing that. And so when I got to college, you know, I figured out that like the people I wanted to be around were the people that when we got together and maybe, you know, had some libations or something, or just on our downtime, wanted to bust out a guitar and start strumming or start singing songs, or, you know, as opposed to like doing improv.
Sure.
And, you know, playing games that are more theater or, you know, that kind of personality type. Mm-hmm. And that was like a little bit of it. There was that competitive nature. There was just me being immature in general and just needing to grow up a little bit, quite frankly, especially from senior year of high school through my freshman year. People I knew who knew me as like a senior in high school and then saw me like 2 years later were like, whoa, you're like a different person. Mm-hmm. Because I went through like a very like embarrassing like hip hop kind of phase,
okay,
where I like was wearing my pants below my waistline and 2XL t-shirts, and I was really into, you know, all sorts of kinds of music as I grew up, but it was specifically like R&B and hip hop that as a kid I always loved.
Sure.
Bands like Boyz II Men taught me how to sing, you know, and harmonize.
Yeah.
And then I got to be, you know, a teenager, and I'm trying to figure out what it is to be a man. How do you attract the opposite, you know, gender, or at least the gender I'm into? And it was kind of amazing that the second I started, like, changing my image, I got way more attention from the opposite gender. And
from the ladies, you were looking for attention, and you got it.
Not that it was the right kind of attention, but it was attention nonetheless. Yeah.
And so, well, like, what's embarrassing about it then?
Well, I'm a white dude from North Dakota trying to be the R&B singer in a hip hop group.
Yeah.
And I got to have some fun with it. I even did some music and stuff, and then I kind of got out of my system, and I realized I was pretty pigeonholed in some ways. Mm-hmm. I in college is where I kind of started listening to bands like Sublime, and that got me more into Led Zeppelin, and then through that I got into I all of a sudden just the world opened up beyond, like, I did musical theater in high school, but I didn't really listen to a lot of musical theater all the time. I mean, it's not even true. I really like the music that I really loved. A lot of times ended up being like more R&B, especially when I was in high school.
Sure.
And so I wanted that vibe.
You still like R&B?
You know, I don't listen to it that much anymore, to be honest with you.
Not even the old stuff?
Not really.
Okay.
Honestly, it's weird. I spend more of my time as an adult now listening to like podcasts than even listening to music.
Yeah,
I spend so much time actually engaging in music with my students or engaging in my own music when I have the time. I listen to music all the time. I'm engaging in music.
Yep.
But
were you trying to be a famous R&B singer at that time?
Yeah. I was like, as a senior in high school, that was what I thought I wanted to do. I did some musicals and stuff on like while I was in college because the opportunities were there. But I slowly started to be like, maybe being a musician is more what I want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like it, because that's what you were doing in your free time.
Yeah.
When you're just hanging out and partying, and that's what you were like inclined to do.
Yeah. And I hit a major roadblock too then. I was only a singer, really. I mean, I'd played violin and orchestra, but I ironically quit that because I thought I was too cool for it, which is not true.
It's hard.
It's a harsh reality.
Well, it's a hard instrument.
It's a beautiful instrument. Yeah, yeah. One of my biggest regrets is quitting that. And I still have it, but at the same time, I should have played guitar first. I should have played guitar way sooner. I should have played piano way sooner. Why I never did is beyond me, I guess.
Well, you got some chops now, though.
So. Yeah, and no, I've been playing now every day since I was... buddy.
So how is your picturing yourself being famous happening? Is that still happening when you're thinking you're going to be a musician then? Or is,
yeah, so okay. Like when I got into a band my sophomore year, realized that as only a singer I was a liability, started playing guitar. And then I was in that band and we had the closest I got to like notoriety, quote unquote, fame, you know, it wasn't fame, but locally I was in a college band and we had some, for like 6 months, we kind of had made a little bit of a name for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we played our first like official gig after doing some Battle of the Band stuff. Mm-hmm. And we sold out the show. It was packed.
Yeah.
And that feeling of having a show of music that you helped write and create, and having like, you could see people from wall to wall and people were having a good time and it was infectious. And so that lit a different fire.
Yeah.
And so maybe this is my new thing, you know? Yeah. And so I was still into this idea of like pursuing fame.
Right.
But now in a band.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that played out as you might expect, as many of them do.
You weren't selling out every single show forever.
Yeah, no. And we had lots of different problems, you know, unprofessional, you know, I'm learning how to play guitar. I'm at the mercy of my bandmates and I don't really, you know, it took 4 or 5 years just to be able to write a decent song to my ear using a guitar.
Yeah.
yeah, so that was like, I had like the hip hop phase and that would like gave way to like I was in like a jam band. I was in a band phase for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that burned, you know, we crashed and burned there, you know, I kind of had a little bit of a heart to heart. I actually took some time from school, off some school, and I moved down to the cities to try to like follow some of my bandmates. And we never could get it together, too distracted and just, you know, not on the same page, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
One by one, we kind of splintered out and it was very clear that I was on my own pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And I think that was like rock bottom for me where I kind of felt like, you know, I felt lost.
Uh-huh.
And I was enjoying music still.
Yeah.
And I still had a passion for creating music, but I kind of just realized that, I don't know, maybe this isn't like what I need to be doing. And I took that as a sign to go back to school, you know? And I that was kind of like the beginnings of me being like, okay, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to be, you know, if I really wanted to be famous at that moment in time, or even like right out of, if I really wanted, I'd have moved to LA or, you know, or New York, like many of the people that I went to college or high school with have, and some have been really quite successful. So, you have to really want something.
Right.
And I realized that in that time that for me, I was always just kind of chasing like the feeling of community. I loved making music.
Yeah.
And I love the feeling of live performance.
Yeah.
But, you know, I also, the idea of like touring around the world every night, going on a real tour, you know, that doesn't appeal to me.
Yeah.
Like I want to play like one gig a month, maybe.
Yeah.
Like I want to rehearse once a week, you know, play one decent gig a month.
Yeah.
And then I kind of found out going back to school that I feel like where I have the highest degree to feel successful is actually in teaching music.
Well, you're a really good teacher.
Thank you.
Taught me voice lessons, and you're the best thing about my acid reflux.
Because I am the best thing about your acid reflux.
I had this vocal damage from my acid reflux, and I needed lessons, and you really helped me sing better.
Thank you, man.
So
I mean, it really means a lot to hear that.
Yeah.
And I have to say, too, since you brought it up, I've just appreciated you being someone who's kind of put my name out there here and there when someone's asked on like the Mankato musicians page. Like,
yeah, sure.
Had a couple of people come, you know, take some lessons for a short period of time. And
it's
I appreciate that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And I'm really happy to help. I really, I get so much more out of that, you know? So I really like teaching private lessons, whether it be voice or guitar or ukulele or even like beginning piano lessons, piano students.
So just going back to the crashing, because that does seem, it seems to be a pretty common story, but there's an emotional connection, or like you say, we're like chasing some feeling, that the feeling that we get when we're on stage, or when people are appreciating us, and that kind of thing. And with you, it seems especially like the camaraderie that comes with it. And then when those things don't turn out the way that we want them to be, it seems like, oh, well, this isn't like, if I have a full-time career in this, it isn't going to be that. It's going to be something else. It's maybe more competitive or maybe mundane. It's like, if I have to do this every night. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and
so part of it is just the question of what you have to do if you are famous.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And that's kind of where I realized that I don't actually want to do all the things that it entails to do that. Like, I've known for a long time that I wanted to be a father.
Yep.
I'm holding my son right now.
I can see him.
And he's making lots of sounds.
Yeah, I can hear him.
And you know, you always hear about the people who, you know, especially like in what I like to do, a musician, right? You go on tour. If you want to be famous in music, you have to play everywhere. You can't just play in your little neck of the woods. Like, really, really be. I mean, you can maybe, I guess nowadays, now I'm old, I'm 38, so the whole like TikTok thing is a little different. That's that goes back to that what is fame question and our perceptions of it. And maybe I think about fame in an older conceptualization of it.
Right. But we could just go there for a second. Like, you have somewhat of an idea of what it takes to get famous on TikTok, or at least things that would lead you in that direction. Do you want to do those things?
Well,
do you want to, like, make a video a couple times a day? And that
kind that's of the thing, like, a couple times a day?
Yeah.
That goes back to what I'm saying. So it's like, just to finish that other point, like, so in the traditional sense of, like, touring around the world, I want to be home every night. With my son, with my family. Like, I'd like to go on tour. I'd like to do tours periodically, small kind of things, to bring, you know, my family with. Like, maybe we take a road trip in the summertime, you know, and maybe tie in some performances or something. But to do, like, 20 dates, you know, in the back of a van, you know, especially at that early stage where you need to be, or at least where we thought we needed to be as a musician. And then I guess now if you think of it in more modern context, like making content, right?
Yeah.
Like, man, it's a lot to make content. It's time consuming. And especially if you really want it to be good, you know, really good and not just kind of, I turned on my camera, said hi, and then shut away. You know what I mean? So I don't have the time and the patience to make like a really amazing video every day for sure. I think I could have the time and the patience, and I try to make recordings. And I'm working on like the idea of feeling more confident in my ability to just like hit a quick record something real quick, like kind of, I guess, Instagram wise or like short video content and post it. But I've always just thought that it's just not going to turn out real well. And a lot of times too, I was also trying to figure out how I wanted to be perceived. I spent a lot of time, you know, not feeling comfortable, especially as a teacher, putting out the music I was making all the time, especially in my early days. And now I don't want to make anything. I don't want to make any kind of music that I can't like show pretty much all my if my students were to stumble across it.
Right.
I don't want it to be embarrassing or anything like that, you know? Yeah. So it's like,
yeah, it seems like, I meet a lot of musicians who want that kind of control.
Yeah.
And that, they might tend towards being, I don't want to say perfectionistic, but just they want to put out some excellent products so that it isn't something they're going to rush.
Yeah.
I tend to meet people like that, and that doesn't really seem to be what is going to be congruent with a lot of social media output. Certainly you can do some. So yeah. Like, let me ask you some hypothetical, because I'm thinking of this.
Yeah, that's right.
So like, if you could be famous but not have to tour and not have to do too much social media content, say someone's going to manage you and make sure that you're going to be doing enough, and they're going to get you the dates that you want, and they're going to do some marketing for you. How would that sound?
Well, I don't know. I mean, my goal, I guess, I don't know if I even think of it that way. Like,
sure.
Then I have to pay that person.
And
am I making enough money to even do that? You know what I mean? And when
let's
you
say, let's say that you are. Let's say that you break even.
I just don't believe that performing once a month is going to bring in that kind of money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But so, this person's a good manager, though. That's why. So that's why it works.
Like, if I would love to get paid. I like to get paid when I perform.
Right.
It's never like millions of dollars, obviously. No. It's like, you know.
Yeah, I know how much it is.
Yeah, you know, but you know better than I do.
Right.
You know, which I've always marveled at what you've been able to accomplish, you know. Like, I perform for change most of the time,
yeah.
You know. Maybe it's 100, 200 bucks here and there, but I'm not making lots of money.
Right.
And I'm also a solo performer, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to perform once a month. If someone was willing to like go to the time to do that, and if it was lucrative enough to we're willing to pay them, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
But, and if I could do it like locally, like I like the idea of just like what I really want is just being part of a musical community.
Yep. Yeah.
Like I'd like people to just show up.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be great to not perform for nobody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is why I've kind of done other things to try to like make friends with people or do events that like inspire other people to come out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's always been just about getting people to physically show up.
Mm-hmm.
If I make a video, for example, on YouTube, which if anyone ever went to my channel, there's like five views.
What's your YouTube channel?
It's just my name. But the idea that like...
Do you want to spell it?
I don't care.
You don't.
Okay. I don't care. Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm not trying to be famous.
Getting that now. Yeah.
To me, it's like... If I want to get a gig someplace, well, you need to know what I sound like.
Right.
You know? And so that's kind of how I think about it.
Yeah.
But like, just because, you know, you get like 1,000 views doesn't necessarily mean you're going to bring 1,000 people to the door, you know?
Right.
So it's like, that's not necessarily congruent.
No, they're not.
I'm not saying I don't want people to hear what I do, but I guess when I think about fame is like when you stop associating with people because they're not cool enough for you,
right.
when you start making choices that are like, oh, this isn't what's hip right now.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it took me a long time to be confident in who I am and what I actually want to do and how I really want to play guitar.
Uh-huh.
I had to play guitar for 10 years. Honestly, I had to play guitar for 15 years to figure out how I actually like want to present myself.
Right.
And be proud of what I do.
Yeah.
To come to where I am now, where I identify as like a fingerstyle guitarist.
Sure.
I threw the pick away.
Sure.
I traded in my old Taylor for a classical guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And like that took 15 years.
Yeah.
You know?
Finger pick on nylon strings.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
And as like when I first got into music, that was like the last thing I wanted to do. I wanted to just bang on the thing. Be more punk rock energy.
Right.
You know, and then how I'm singing too has changed drastically. I used to just want to sing as high as physically possible to match what all the coolest vocalists, male vocalists could do.
Freddie Mercury, Journey,
Robert Plant, you know, and now I've realized that my best singing a lot of times, especially as a soloist, is more in that baritone range.
Yeah.
You know, and so I'm doing things that fit me, not necessarily... I'm not trying to sell myself. Mm-hmm.
And that would be a problem with management is they'll tell you
Push you one way.
Yeah, how to be.
Yeah.
And hopefully, hopefully that's something that you want or that you're kind of willing to explore or you think it's a good idea or whatever.
See, now what I think about now is I'm trying to sing in a way where I can sing a concert and my voice doesn't hurt at the end
because
I'm not just screaming the whole time.
Yeah.
And then I'm playing in such a way that it it's as impressive as I can possibly be for someone that didn't touch a guitar till they were 20.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's not punk rock at all, dude.
Nope. It's not, you know, and then I'm also thinking of like the chords I'm playing. I want to make like interesting kind of jazz inspired in a sense.
Oh, I've noticed.
Jazz inspired chords. Like I'm trying to fuse the concepts of like folk songwriting.
Yeah.
Jazziest fingerstyle guitar,
yeah,
and then like almost more, in a sense, classically delivered vocals as opposed to like punk rock or R&B necessarily.
Yeah, yeah, because it feels good.
Well, and I feel like I can do that more sustainably, and it also fits who I am too, uh-huh, as a, you know, how I identify, where I'm from.
It's how you teach people to sing too when you teach.
Yeah,
them,
right. Like, you know, trying to make a healthy tone production,
mm-hmm,
how to sing in a way that's not going to hurt your voice, and then go from there, you know.
So what's the closest you ever got to being famous?
Well, I mean, I've never been close, in my opinion, at all. I'd say like the most impressive thing on my resume is I sang with a professional choir,
uh-huh,
and we got to, there are a lot of perks in singing that professional choir. They're called vocal essence.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a smaller ensemble called the Ensemble Singers. And for a couple of years I sang in that group and, had a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And like my claim to fame technically is I got to be the background singer to the Rolling Stones.
Hey, if you're listening to this right now, I just want to say thank you. I know you have a lot of podcast options, and I very much appreciate you tuning in. At the moment, this podcast is 100% member-supported and ad-free. Many of you are making that possible through your contributions at idontdothatpodcast.com/give, and I thank you again for that. If you think you might like to join our generous members who contribute a little bit, you can do that at idontdothatpodcast.com/give. A membership also gives you access to exclusive digital content on that site. If you don't want to part with the money, I understand. You could still share this podcast with your friends and your social network. You can subscribe to this show on your streaming service of choice, and you can leave a 5-star review with some kind words. Regardless of what you do or what you don't do, there's always plenty of free content for everyone at idontdothatpodcast.com/give. That's for members and non-members alike. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, you don't get bigger than the Rolling Stones, really.
The irony of that was I was way more proud of this other thing that we did over at the Fitzgerald Theater, where it was a whole brand new musical, and we had this actress from the local scene, the Minneapolis scene, who was like acting out all of the main drama as we sang. Like, it was a take on like the radio choir theme, and it was this amazing 2-hour production. I was way more proud of that. For that Rolling Stone concert, I literally sang 2 notes.
Right.
It was, you can't always get what you want.
Sure.
But I wasn't singing that part because I don't sound like I have a little kid voice.
Right.
So I was just going, on repeat the whole time. It was just kind of, it was so funny to me. It was like perfect. It was like, here you are performing the Rolling Stones and it's 2 notes.
Did you guys get to party backstage?
Oh, no. They came up and said hi, but it's Mick Jagger. He walked up and was like, all right, you know, don't mess up. He used a different word.
Sure.
Walked away. It was amazing being a part of it. It was cool to see, to be on stage and a real, like, actual famous people. It was cool, but it was like, wow.
Yeah, big stage, and it kind of doesn't feel like you're up there, does it, because there's so many lights? Or were you feeling that?
Well, there was quite a lot of people there. I mean, we're talking like over 30,000 people there. It filled the whole stadium. It was surreal. It was real surreal.
Yeah.
So that's the closest I ever got.
So did you see a big old sea of people out there?
Oh, yeah. And we got to, when we weren't performing, we got to sit up in like the box seats way up top.
Yeah.
And so we kind of hung out up there and could see down,
mm-hmm,
took tons of pictures and, mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a cool experience. I'm very thankful for my time in vocal essence. You know, we got to do a lot of cool things. I'm way more, like, to me, I'm way more proud of all the different pieces that we premiered,
mm-hmm,
at live concerts,
mm-hmm,
or the recordings that we made for a new composer who just composed a piece and they're trying to sell their work to other choirs. They need someone to sing it to put on their website,
mm-hmm,
so you can hear what it sounds like.
Sure.
I was way more artistically proud of those things.
Yeah.
But if I tell people I sang once for the Rolling Stones, they're like, oh my God.
then we're more proud of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you try to network from that, or were you?
Oh no. I'm a in vocal essence. You know, you're a singer in a group.
Yeah.
And I wasn't there very long. It's a longer that's a longer story. But you know, it wasn't like I was the best of the best by any means. It was around that time that I started to kind of figure out that I probably shouldn't be trying to scream tenor.
Yeah.
All the time, my voice actually started to kind of
sure.
Like, I think I got.
Yep.
William is using his voice. I think I got laryngitis. I went to the doctor. I couldn't sing for like 2 weeks, and I tried to re-audition as a baritone. Mm-hmm. And to do that, I had to like give up my spot, mm-hmm. and they decided to let me go. So, boom.
Yeah. Well, nothing lasts forever, does it?
No, it doesn't. Yeah. No, it doesn't. And you know what? To be honest with you. Guess how many people I still talk to from that organization?
Any?
No.
Oh,
not really. I mean, you know, we're still connected on Facebook, a couple that were pretty nice folks.
Sure.
But it's a different world, you know? Yeah. It was a lot more of that same idea where, you know, it's the pros, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's the big time, and
mm-hmm.
very grateful for my time, but I knew I was also lucky.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. I really can relate. You know, I don't see music as a competitive endeavor at all. So,
and that's been part of. I'm so communal about it.
Like, right.
I want to like the people I'm making music with. I want to get along, hang out together. I want to be part of a community.
Yeah.
And we'd hung out and stuff, but it was different. It was different. You know.
Yeah.
It was a different vibe. So.
Yeah. So do you find people that expect you? They expect that you want to be famous. They're like, well, what are you trying to do with your career? Or like, where are you?
Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, I can't tell you how many times people have asked me, well, haven't you, auditioned for American Idol or The Voice? Mm-hmm. If I really want to be famous, I'd audition for that every single year for the last 15, 20 years.
Sure.
You know, I mean, for sure, especially as a singer.
It does seem to be an easy way to get on TV, in national TV, right?
Yeah, I mean, and it's a good experience either way, you know.
Sure.
In addition to everything else, like you had asked about what it takes to be famous, and it's just grinding, you know.
Seems like it.
Yeah, you just got to grind. You got to, don't think about having, I would say you probably don't really consider having a family,
mm-hmm.
you know. You're going right for it right away. I think most people get a degree of some kind or something most of the time, but
sure.
not necessarily.
Yeah.
And
have
then,
a family
and
after
then you
you're
move.
Famous.
You move yep. to like LA or New
or
York.
Or New York, yeah.
You know, where the most amount of work is, where the best are, you sink or swim, you know.
Yep. And there are some opportunities, other cities, but it is pretty much one of those two cities.
Yeah, I mean, Chicago's a pretty big market, too. I've known a lot of actors have gone there as well.
Yeah, some stuff comes out of Atlanta. Like, there's stuff like that.
And even
Boston,
in the cities.
Boston, I've heard, like, sure, even, yeah.
Minneapolis is quite a huge venue for music. You know, Prince came out of Minneapolis,
yep.
but he didn't just be in Minneapolis. He also toured the world.
Yeah, he sure did. He sure did.
So.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like for me,
what do you say to people that ask you, like, "Well, when are you going to audition, man? How come you haven't auditioned? Are you going to?"
No, and I say because I don't want to. That's not what I want. I it's never been. It was very, you know, it was never something always turned me off about it. Like I think at one point in time I considered. I read through some of the contract, and I remember feeling like, man, they own you until they let you go, and I don't know. I just. It felt like not the direction I was going, especially at the time that it was getting popular.
Mm-hmm.
I was really more into like, I need to play guitar.
Mm-hmm.
I need to play guitar like every day. Mm-hmm. I'm not good enough at guitar.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to, like when you stand there as just a singer and you're holding a mic, mm-hmm. what are you doing with your hands? You know?
Right.
And that to me was like more acting. Like I know what I'm doing with my hands. I'm playing an instrument and singing and so like, you know, being a musician.
Yep.
And that's what I wanted to do.
Yep.
Oh,
yeah. So I mean, that is definitely not my style either. I mean, part of it seems like for you the competitive part, and then like you say, the loss of freedom. If you see that they own you,
but,
until
but
they're done with you,
probably then, just until the contract's up. Obviously,
yeah,
you know. I mean,
yeah, but they need to make sure that they're creating the the show the exact way they want to and produce it, so they need you to cooperate. So they need you to sign something to the effect that you will cooperate.
And that whole business side of thing also always kind of freaked me out. I mean, I've heard horror stories of once you sign something, you know, whether, you know, copyright infringement, copyright disputes, your name, you perform for 10 years as his band name, and all of a sudden you get a viral video, and now somebody in another town who has the same band name is like suing you because they had that name sooner, you know. And there's a song that gets famous, and Marvin Gaye's
his family
estate is suing you because it, you know, closely resembles.
Right.
The whole copyright thing always boggles my mind.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you. Like, it's very simple to not be famous. It gets a lot more complicated because everyone is in your business. People want something from you because you're also going to be rich, right? Even if you're rich and not famous.
In the interpretation of fame that I'm basically saying that I don't seek, yeah.
Right.
It's possible to be famous and you don't make a lot of money either. Those viral videos.
Sure.
And then that's almost like a curse. See, another thing happened in the last 10 years is that, you know, everything's now forever online and you can't escape that. Imagine being the child of some of these famous people. You know what I mean? How are you normal at all? You know, how do you go to their basketball game and not take away from who the eyes that, you know, especially like Tom Cruise show up at his kid's basketball game.
You know?
I don't know. Like that's a thought. It's not the only thought, but it's just, it always like this idea that you're so important. Mm-hmm. And I heard
Jennifer Lawrence on a podcast, and she went to the studio to do the podcast, and she had a bodyguard with her, and she had somebody outside too, it sounded like.
Yeah.
So
you're a target.
Your life is not so normal.
No, it's not normal.
It's certainly not how it was. And if you consider that normal, then it is, but it's not how it was for sure.
I also think too, it's so hard to find people you really trust in general, even. Mm-hmm. But when you got that kind of notoriety, you know, how do you trust anybody?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know. There's that aspect of it too. Like, I remember encountering in my life different people that I worked with, and they clearly were trying to be, you know, big. Mm-hmm. And I remember the moment when it was like, oh, I am no longer important to you. It was almost like a click.
Yeah.
Like one day we were like no problem, and then the next day it was like, oh, you have arrived, and you are taking off, you know, and that turned me off incessantly.
Yeah. You know?
There's a difference between cutting ties with someone because it's unhealthy.
Right.
And whatever it is, the result of you two being around each other, you know, bad things happen or whatever it might be, or just unproductive things happen.
Yeah, you're not good, you know, for each other or whatever.
Well, especially in the arts and music and stuff, you know, addiction, all these different things. There's reasons to not separate, you know, to not, you know, associate with someone, but just because you're not cool enough, it was just like, oh, man.
Yeah.
You know, I always hated that so much.
Yeah.
And as someone who's very uncool.
Yeah.
That was another thing too. It's like, why go out there with a bunch of people trying to be cool when I already know I'm not cool?
Yeah.
You know, like it just doesn't sound like something I want to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'd rather be someplace long enough, play music gradually, people hear you, word of mouth, people show up to your concert. That's what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
That's the real.
Yeah.
You know?
And you talk about being real. Like this, it sounds like you have an authentic self, Chase.
Took me to my own. I'm almost 40 and I'm finally actually being me and not trying to realize what I am, you know.
There is a real Chase, and there isn't just a like, who do you want me to be? I'll do it. There isn't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So is there any amount of money that's going to change your mind if you got to give up your privacy and your artistic freedom and your personal freedom and maybe your family and
the only thing that's important to me, like I said, is my family is the most important thing.
Yeah.
I'm always going to be singing. You're not going to stop me from singing.
Sure.
And making music, that to me is, it's not just like, yes, it's related to what I do. I'm an educator. I'm a music teacher, and I perform when I can. Sometimes it's for money. Sometimes it's not. But like it would have to depend on the circumstance. Like I need to be home every night. You know, I'm not saying I don't want to like make money. I do want to make money for my time, but I want to do something that I feel like I can do and still put my real name on it. Like I don't have a stage name. I tried, for a while I thought, yeah, I need a stage name. You know, no, I don't want to do anything that any of my students can't stumble upon and be like, okay, that's Burkhart. You know? So as long as it doesn't stop that from happening, which is another reason why there's no way. Because if you look at what is famous, what makes the money, there's always some double meaning behind it. You know, there's always something that makes the little edgy or, you know.
Yeah, especially now, I think edgier stuff, there's way more edgy pop music than there was.
And I do what I can to try to incorporate that with my students, like some student choice. And it's a conversation we have, like what's appropriate for school and and how do we do songs that aren't just the old stuff that I'm just telling you to do, but incorporate some of your, as a class, choice. And most of the time it goes well. Sometimes, you know, it's like, oh, you know, like I think there was at one point, I had a bunch of kids who really liked that Fancy Like song. And it was all over the radio, and it, you
Fancy,
know, yeah,
Iggy Azalea,
or no, the country kind of feeling one.
Oh, okay.
And at one point in time, we were going to try to do it with a group of kids, and had some parents push back.
Oh, okay.
It was like the one time where I engaged in that, where I had parents like, "Oh no," and you know, it's like I don't want to make anything that that could potentially happen.
Right, yeah.
Even something that's so like on the line, I don't, you know, and.
You're not trying to produce anything because you're building a community which involves students and kids and families and stuff. So you want to make things that are going to be acceptable to everybody.
And at the same time, it's like I'm also not trying to be Rafi, even though I basically am.
I don't know if you basically are.
Oh,
I mean,
I'm singing lots of Rafi
different.
Right now, Me and William are killing that Rafi right now.
But I mean, I've heard your original songs.
Yeah.
They're not about watermelon stuff.
No, they're not. They're not about watermelon.
That's what I don't know if Rafi has a song about watermelon, but he should if he doesn't.
He might. He's got one about bananas.
Yeah.
I actually love that song.
He's got a song about sandwiches.
Yep.
Yeah.
Is that the one that's like, sandwiches are beautiful, sandwiches are fun?
Yeah.
I think that's a jam, quite personally.
Me too. That's why I remember it.
A jam.
It's a jam. You could put jam
on
your sandwich.
It's a sandwich. Okay. I think I just crossed the threshold of into dad joke material.
Yeah. Well, it's appropriate.
Yeah.
Considering our guest, William.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we just bought him a keyboard.
Nice.
And I'm really trying to get him into music. And like, when you think about, like, what do I want to teach him about music? I just want to teach him about, like, the communal aspect of it. I hope he wants to engage in music in some way. But I'm actually not going to be like, hey, you should go be famous. Or the reason we're doing this is because fame is what is why we're doing this, you know. Or even to be a music teacher, you know. Like, I don't necessarily think that's the best road for him.
You wouldn't know. I mean, he doesn't have a best road yet, does he?
Well, I don't know.
You have to kind of do what you did and I did, and you have to like go out and experiment a little bit.
Some
people get it right. They start heading in some direction, and that's the one. And sometimes you have to pivot, as you say.
You got
to
be curious.
Yep.
You know, and
maybe you got to wear a double XL and wear your pants down, you know. Just like.
No, thank you.
No, but you wouldn't be who you were today if you didn't try it, right? Like,
well, of course. No, yeah. I mean, it was that phase that got me into that band. And then that band brought me to the idea that I needed to play an instrument, not just be a singer. And,
great.
And that brought me into being a complete human being, you know.
Yeah. Man. Well, congratulations on being a complete human being.
I think so.
Yeah. No, I mean, I see it. Did you have anything else you wanted to say?
I don't know. Did you answer? Did you ask all your questions?
I think so. Yeah. I think I got all this figured out.
No, I don't know. I just looking forward to playing in the community and just making new music. More recently, I started focusing on singing again or making original music again. Kind of been inspired by this little guy and just remembering that it makes me feel good to sing and to make songs and to perform those songs.
Yep. Well, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for bringing William.
Yeah. He finally stopped being scared.
He's been on this podcast more than anyone right now.
Yeah. So, twice.
Yeah.
Twice.
Yeah. And he hasn't said a word.
All right. Well, hey, thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening. Shout out to our sponsor, Anders the Giant with Primetime Web. Shout out to member supporter, Taman Eggers. Taman will be featured on my new podcast called Song for the Night, which is in production now and will be streaming to the public in February. The Song for the Night podcast chronicles the counterculture and underground music scene of Pierce, South Dakota, USA, from 1994 to 2024, despite being in the middle of nowhere, without internet, without support from the establishment, and without much reason for any kind of hope. A group of kids were able to create a community with a legacy while supporting touring bands and each other. I'll be talking with the people who made that happen on the Song for the Night podcast. Look for that in February 2024. Happy holidays, people. My name is Ocho. I'm your host, chief engineer, and producer. I also composed and performed the theme song. Thank you again to Chase for sharing your experience with us. You know, Chase, I also do not want to be famous, and sometimes I think I do, so it was really refreshing and rewarding to talk to you because it reminded me that I don't, and that sometimes I think I do, but I need to remember that I don't for many reasons. And I could relate to a lot of stuff that you said. There's the people who want to get famous are really loud, and I think we need to pay some attention and give some time. Something more than lip service, some actual service to those of us maybe we're resisting getting famous because it's not for us, is it? No. And I can relate, you know, there's some people who I sort of thought were friends of mine for quite a while, but they probably just wanted to get something from me, some status, or they're trying to get famous themselves, so they're like trying to meet people. And I'm like a person they're trying to meet or something like that. And some of them probably have gotten to where they want to be or close. So, you know, good for them. Congratulations, people. You know who you are. If you like what you heard in this episode and you would like to purchase a subscription or make a donation in any amount, please do so at idontdothatpodcast.com/give. Subscribers get access to bonus content, as well as a link to every episode of this podcast 4 days before it even comes out. If you or someone you know, if you think you would like to be a guest on I Don't Do That, please visit idontdothatpodcast.com to apply to be a guest on the show. Thanks to all of you for all that you do and all that you don't do. I'm Ocho. I will talk to you again, if I'm lucky.
I don't do that.